Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
If you say Rob's not your least favorite, I'll know where I stand.
Rob is my absolute favorite.
Oh no. Very, I did not know it was going this way, Mike. I would not do you dirty. I thought I was your least favorite, honestly. We barely ever talk.
Stephanie, do you find it a little narcissistic that you put a picture of yourself up on Facebook every day?
Mood has changed.
He's turned.
I stand by CNN not calling Arizona. I think CNN had a point to make about Maricopa County and watching that as much
Why
as I was watching it.
When you can select.
We go to John Lithgow in our news center.
Yeah. Maricopa County. Same day drop-off. Who knows?
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
All right, show of hands, who's dragging their ass a little bit this week, huh?
Oh, yeah, it's been brutal.
Yeah,
it's been brutal.
Our TMOS talking head is, and it's been a hell of a week. It truly, truly has. I cannot tell you how wiped out I am. Where did our talking head go?
I don't know.
I think you pissed her off.
But, Mike, her profile name is Carol Baskin. Someone has a sense of humor, which is fantastic.
I did laugh when I did our Zoom test and Carol Baskin popped. I said, well, what do we have here? It's certainly not the late
Halloween.
Oh, okay, very good.
Let us welcome our TMOS talking head, and we can work everybody into the discussion of where we are right now. Stephanie Larson. I know Stephanie because I do not, since the pandemic began, I'm not quite sure that I ever go to Facebook where I don't see her with her nurse's outfit. Yes. And it's not a costume. It's what she wears to work. And her mask and everything. Every day. We'll get to that in a second about the update. Stephanie has been listening to us since 1995. That is a quarter of a century. My God.
Wow.
My God. She's a frontline worker, currently employed as a nurse at UC Davis. She's been working crazy hours throughout the entire pandemic. She lives in Roseville, California, a Sacramento suburb, with Scott, her husband of 11 years. They have two adopted cats, Rose and Melvin. Great name.
Hello.
Melvin. What a great name for a cat. And three kids, Samantha, who's 18, Chase is 17, and Drew is 10. You got another decade to go, Stephanie, before it's all done. I've got more. Drew is autistic and loves TMOS. That is wonderful. Stephanie is currently a nurse in the cancer center where she does chemo infusions. But as a former urology nurse, oh no, she knows her way around prostates, kidney stones, and vasectomies.
Fun.
I don't think so. Anyway, you went to both of our Reno shows, both of our Vegas shows. Here is a fun fact. She was the lady who revived the overserved fan who passed out at the Reno show. Never saw that. Heard about it.
Yeah.
Knew it was a big deal. It was never such a big deal that we came out with any kind of disclaimer.
No.
At our live shows where we would say, you know, hey, don't drink because that doesn't make the show funny. But anyhow, her favorite TMOS things when Oscar is enthusiastic about a wrong fact.
Damn it.
That's not nice. The wives on the show, Mike's Bane impression. That's near. I know that's a very popular one. And the recent story about Mike and the lube made her cause a scene at the grocery store. She likes to read and watch TV. She is currently into The Undoing. Oh, Stephanie, so am I. And The Spanish Princess, we part company on that one. I bailed on that, and I'll tell you
why. Dear.
She would love to show you some of her PPE gear. I'd love to see it. And we welcome her now, a wonderful supporter of the show, and somebody really whose presence on Facebook, Stephanie Larson, is better than people that spend a lot more money for it.
Yes.
Stephanie, I would be lying if I didn't say occasionally, it's like, well, I'm on Facebook. There's Stephanie again.
Sorry about that.
You are every day good for at least one selfie. Would that be reasonably accurate when I say that?
Yeah, the plan was that I was going to do one every day of the pandemic, but I didn't think it was going to last this long. So I've kind of tried to cut back because, you know.
Running out of memory on the phone?
Yes. You know,
so I'm curious, you work in an infusion center. When I had when I had my hip popped in and it went awry, I went to the infusion center to get antibiotics on my hip infection. So I dealt with infusion centers, and we'll talk about that. I'm fascinated by what you do. First of all, thank you for what you do.
Yes.
Just the idea of the people in this country that in this horrible time we've lived in where we're so divided, I think most people can agree that the people that do what you do on any level in our healthcare, it's just amazing to me. I've been part of it. I've been in it. I've seen what it's about. So when you talk about you're in an infusion center, for those listeners that might not know, an infusion center is where people usually go to get long-term treatment that's injected, chemo, heavy doses of antibiotics, other medicines. And I'm curious that with the pandemic, did they move you to other areas? How did the whole thing work working in an infusion center? Where did they utilize you when this thing was exploding?
Okay, so let me just clarify. I don't do chemo. They do chemo where I am. I'm not certified to do chemo.
Okay.
So I do mostly hydration, electrolytes, because plants like them. And
Brondo.
Yeah. That's what plants need.
And blood and platelets. So during the pandemic, we did have several meetings about if we were, because we were the first the hospital to get the first patient in the country who had COVID. So there were discussions about like if we went into certain phases where it would be all hands on deck at the hospital, but we thankfully never got there. So as far as this whole time, nothing's changed for us. We've been open every single day during the pandemic because people still need their chemo.
Yeah.
So I've just been the whole time.
Let me give her some medical jargon here since I know what you do now. So are you skilled even if the patient's a hard stick, Stephanie?
I am.
Are you good at what you do? Can you find that vein? Rob, you may chuckle, but are you ready for this?
Yeah.
I had a five timer, and I wanted to break her wrist with my bare hand. I wanted to do that, but it's hard to do. You get good at it. You go, what's the key? Yeah. What's the key to finding that vein when you're sticking somebody for like a saline drip there, Stephanie?
It's usually heat. We usually put like a warm pack on the arm. We don't do a lot of IVs where we are. We have mostly ports, which I don't know if you're familiar with those.
I know what a port is. That's where you put something in not semi-permanently, so you don't have to come in. They offered me that, but I begged off of that because I said, let's see, this infection and my blood is thin and I didn't want to do it.
Robert had a port for much of his leukemia journey. And one of the hardest things, he also had a PICC line, which was which is almost like a tube that just hangs off of him. And that was wild because you have to flush it every day. And that was a weird, weird procedure. The port's a lot easier to deal with because it stays inside, right?
Correct.
Oscar Santana. Yes. Sorry. Go ahead.
Please go ahead, Stephanie. I'm so sorry.
I interrupted Rob's question. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So the PICC, you have to change the dressing on it every week. Mm-hmm. And that's a sterile procedure. And you have to flush it every week, which means you have to put saline in it, get blood return, and then lock it with heparin. The port, you only have to do monthly. So we do have patients who are in remission, and they come in just once a month for a port flush and maybe a lab draw. And you can take the labs from the port as well.
Right. Perfect. Look, I think what you do is, you know, speaking as I come from a medical family, you're doing the Lord's work. But let's talk about us. Power rankings, the least favorite to most favorite. Go.
Well, are you jumping right into like ranking the three of us?
Yes. Yes, please.
Can she also include Maddie and Pony too?
No, the top three.
No,
the top three guys.
No, Rob. Yeah. Rob, someday you will realize that you are a star. Sometimes you have to act like it, okay? you know, but I'm interested that Mr. Santana has completely
plunged into this on the spot situation.
I think I know why.
But I'll let her.
Because,
why is that? Why?
Because one of her favorite things is when Oscar screws up, and he's probably feeling a little beat up right now.
No, I'm fine with it. I love hearing what people's thoughts are about
us. Your voice got awfully high just then.
We've never had a talking head where they've been asked to pick a favorite.
Stephanie's got a great sense of humor. I can't wait till she answers this the way I think she's going to answer this.
Well, let me allow her to not be on the spot, and perhaps you could discuss all of us, Stephanie. Let's start with Oscar.
Your least.
What do you like about Oscar?
Well, Oscar, you are actually not my least favorite.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
I want to jump through the phone when Oscar, because I'm a super Game of Thrones nerd, and Oscar will say stuff wrong about Game of Thrones, and he'll be like, oh, it's that. And yeah. It's just, I want to like jump through the phone and smack him. Because yeah.
I call them white runners. You hate it. I know. They're walkers.
No, you got wrong.
All right,
about
so Oscar's three. Not your... Oscar's not your least favorite. All right, what about, well, that leaves two of us now.
Rob's my
favorite. So basically, we're going to announce the runner-up and the first runner-up. And then we're going to get Miss America. No, we're not going to get Miss America, but we're going to get the bottom one here. So go ahead, Stephanie. If you say Rob's not your least favorite, I'll know where I stand.
Rob is my absolute favorite.
Oh, no.
Very,
I did not know it was going this way, Mike. I would not do you dirty. I thought I was your least favorite, honestly. We barely ever talk. I just
Stephanie, do you find it a little narcissistic that you put a picture of yourself up on Facebook every day?
Oh, mood has changed. Mood has changed.
He's turned.
Oh, my God. So I'm the least favorite of the three.
No.
I knew when the question was asked, I knew it was coming. I'm very,
but it's okay. It's a good day favorite. To do that.
Oh, I'm your very favorite.
Mm. Yeah, you guys are asking me to pick my favorite kid.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay.
Fair enough.
All right. See, that was a horrible thing. Stephanie, I apologize for the behavior of Oscar
Oscar's
Santana.
Not my favorite.
It was a horrible thing to do. It was a horrible thing to do. I want to get back to, because you've been very, not only have you been posting a lot, but you put a lot of posts up in general about the pandemic and going through. So obviously getting the first case at your particular hospital, you've been around this. You've obviously have friends that are in the community, friends that have been closer to it. How is at this stage of the game? I'm curious to know because, you know, everybody probably in their own mind has said at one time or another, okay, I haven't, you know, dealt with this directly. Might not even have somebody who's gotten it. I've had lots of people I know that have gotten it, but, you know, haven't lost anybody. But the people that are on the front lines literally every single day, do you find that they are getting better with handling it, that they are more exhausted, that they are handling it? What is the status of people that are on the front lines right now, in your opinion?
Okay, so when it first started, we were all kind of like, eh, whatever. We would like post memes of us, you know, in like full gear for someone who pooped. And then for someone with the COVID, we were like, you know, shirtless, not girls, but boys, you know, like, you know, I personally didn't take it as seriously in the beginning. And then we have taken it very seriously. We've had a couple nurses in the infusion center who have gotten it. And one of our nurses lost her father to it. So we're exhausted, though. It's exhausting. The wearing a mask all day, wearing goggles all day. This is the shield. I put it on for like 5 minutes and started panicking because I couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
So we're exhausted. California is actually doing better than the rest of the country. We're kind of on a downslide. So it's exhausting, though. It's absolutely exhausting.
I think, you know, if anybody out there just that's not a healthcare professional is feeling worn out with everything that's gone on, imagine what it is to be a frontline worker. Rob, I know you wanted to ask a question here.
I've always been, you know, I love the medical profession. They saved my son's life, but I've always been particularly impressed with nurses because they are the front line. They are the ones that make things happen. And doctors don't exist without the assistance of nurses. You have a certain mindset. I see it in every nurse that I've ever dealt with. Of a bravery and almost a Teflon exterior where you let stuff roll off. is COVID something that is the next level? Is that, is it beating you guys up like anything you've ever seen before? Or is it anything you can compare it to? Because when I see a nurse at work, it's an amazing sight to behold. And to hear you say you're exhausted, this has got to be next level stuff. I really feel for you guys.
You know, the COVID, working with the cancer patients, the COVID just, our patients are so sick and we lose them so much. That's exhausting. Mm-hmm. So the COVID, I don't feel like the PPE and the gowns and the N95s and the goggles, that's exhausting. But I really feel like just taking care of these really sick patients can be exhausting.
Yeah.
Sometimes, and you know, you're the last.
I don't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry. I wanted to ask, you know, with doing that, I would imagine you have to develop as harsh as it is to say, a level of mental toughness to handle that. How do you do that? I'm very curious how you do that, because it would seem to be almost a rather traumatic way. You know, do you keep a certain amount of distance with the patient, or do you go all in? I'm curious how you handle that when you get somebody who's so, so very, very ill.
I actually go all in. The first time I had a patient die, I cried. And then you just kind of, first of all, let me just tell you, nurses have very, very, very twisted senses of humor. Mm-hmm. So we laugh at super inappropriate things. So, but you just get, I hate to say it, you just get used to it. Like I said, the first patient who I had die, I was really sad. And then it just gets easier.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. It's so unappreciated. And I think that if there's anything, if you've got a little silver lining that is in this crisis that we've all been dealing with, you really have to say it has put a spotlight on you people. Have you noticed that? Have you gotten that from COVID, where people are more appreciative, more aware of what you do?
Yes. There was a ton of freebie stuff that they were giving us in the beginning. Like McDonald's gave us a free hero meal every day, and I would go get it and bring it to my son. We got Crocs was giving away shoes. Nike gave away shoes. So we really did get a lot of appreciation. I think Chick-fil-A at one point was giving us meals. They would deliver them to the hospital.
Right.
Yeah. Good people. I'm glad people
did
that.
Not on Sundays.
Now on to another serious subject. My urologist. So the process. So anyway, you know, feel free to comment on my medical situation. Either the Stones, which they tell me I have a
great
very,
band.
I think a good shot of getting my kidney stones back, getting another one. If you get one, you can get another one.
He's got a dormant volcano as well.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So any thoughts, advice, and be kind. Please, for the love of God.
As far as the kidney stones go, you really should. Have you gotten your cytology back on it? Do you know what it is?
No, I have not.
Is it an Aquarius?
I think end of last week, I sent my stone into the lab and I haven't gotten it back. Well, my urologist might have, but they haven't contacted me. But they were very busy that day.
Yeah. Mike,
this is the Walking Dead. Any medical office you go into is the Bataan Death March.
They actually copied me on the email. It came back as a ruby. So good job.
It's usually some type of calcium, if I remember correctly. It's been years. But you should be drinking. Put like lemon in your water. The citric acid in the lemon does help break it down. And know what, Mike, I'm sorry to say, you should just be impressed you're still able to lift the gate. And I was really
Remember, Mike, we're all her favorite.
Yes.
We're all her favorite.
All right, I'm going to speak in code.
Oh, good.
I'm going to speak in code. Let me just say, regarding the gate, Stephanie, prior to this particular issue, and I will speak in code, and hopefully, I think you're a medical professional. You'll be able to understand. The gate was fine prior to the volcano.
Sure.
The medication prescribed to me for that volcanic situation was a medication heavily advertised on television, I might add, that assists the gate. So I should say that the gate now
so you had
is,
a slow gate before. Now you have a fast gate.
No. You're not. You see, you're not. Don't interrupt because she knows what I'm talking about. No, right. The gate was fine. When it would be time for the gate would be no problem at all.
But slow to rise, they say. You've been to those that are like, you know, when you get into parking, depending on what you're dealing with.
I want to make it clear. No, it was like, for example,
I follow you.
Bottle rocket.
Yes.
You light the fuse.
Yeah.
And then when it gets to the bottle rocket, there's this delay.
Yes.
Right.
And then, poof, poof, poof.
Yeah.
No, but the fuse was fine. The fuse was fine. But they prescribed the football through the tire.
A whisker
drug.
Do?
The two people in the bathtub drug.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they prescribed that. So that
it's go time.
Prior having no problem anytime. With the gate, that has done nothing but improve the gate.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, in the morning, the gate. So that's where
so
I'm.
How saying, long, so how long still, has it been, Mike, since you've rolled out of bed accidentally?
Gross. No, I would say we'll get into more drugs. I took melatonin to go to sleep last night.
Nice.
Which is my new thing. But I went 7 straight hours. And then I woke up, though, because I drank a lot of fluid before Betty Bye. And it was, anyway, I don't. I,
so
you know,
your
I
gate
think
is working overtime. America should know.
My gate is doing fine.
Yeah.
Stephanie, I think the problem is, though, minutes, if he has to get up because he had a lot of fluid, I'm thinking, just putting all of this together, he's standing further from the toilet now.
Can you go when the gates rise?
Takes a while. Takes a while to calm down the gate.
Yeah, especially if you forget your parking
pass.
Probably
got me like a really neat nightlight for my toilet. Anyway, the last thing I would ask you is, so you were with that lady that passed out at our Reno show a couple
he's
of times?
A man.
Not a couple. It was a man who passed out, and was he just overserved? Is that what it was?
I think so. I had trouble finding his pulse, but I think he was overserved.
It wasn't open
bar. Was he a big man? Was he a man of larger carriage?
No. Oh.
It's, so it was weak. Waif. That's why you had trouble finding his pulse?
You know, but we got him.
Jesus.
I gave him a little sternal rub and he came around.
Right. Oh. Wow. Well, that's what happened to me at my urologist, too. I want to tell you.
That's truly amazing. Doing.
So we've asked you, we've pummeled you with questions. Is there anything before you go that you'd like to ask all of us? We're ready to believe you.
There is a question I wanted to ask Oscar, but I don't know if he can answer it.
All right.
Okay. Go ahead.
Go. Shoot.
So I am a bonus show subscriber, but I am also a Reloaded subscriber.
Oh, so sweet. You're asking about Big O and Dukes.
Yeah, because they've been missing in my life.
They are missing. Look, all I can say right now is we're working it out. We're working it out, see what's next. It's TBD.
I'm going to jump in here, honor Oscar. It's a very, very difficult situation where everybody's close to that. And so, unfortunately, we can't, you know, I'm honoring that. Oscar's honoring that. And it sucks. It's very, very frustrating. You radiophile troublemaker, you.
Oh, I appreciate the question. But it's as you probably know, it's TBD.
Okay. Cool. Well, I figured he would have a contract or something.
Yeah.
I did reach out to him and
very sweet.
Sent him love.
Very sweet. Stephanie, you've been fantastic.
Thank you.
You know, as far as the Undoing and the Spanish Princess, do you like the Undoing more?
I'm trying to figure out how much Nicole Kidman knows. Like, how much she knew beforehand.
It's stunningly cliffhangery and exciting.
Yeah.
And we talk about it all the time, the Undoing. And really continue what you're doing. It is so fascinating to have talking heads on each and every day, each week that we have them on here. And really to you and your entire family, especially Drew. Hey,
yes.
Drew, you rock, Drew. We love you, Drew.
Very sweet.
Keep supporting the Mike O'Mara Show. And it's continue to do what you're doing and support us and keep that presence up. You know, you are so followed on Facebook, Stephanie. You know, throw a TMOS plug in there once in a while.
Couldn't
that would be appreciated.
I will.
Thank you. God bless you. Yes.
You're my favorite.
Oh, see, you got it.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, you got it.
Stephanie Larson, everybody. We'll have Reed Galen from the Lincoln Project coming up next. Thank so you. Long, Stephanie, and start
it's the
show, Rob.
Michael Mara Show. You can listen to The Michael Mara Show at www.michaelmaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's The Michael Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Lincoln, 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 Bo Bingan, Bonana, Fana, Bo Bingan, Fee, Fi, Mo Mingan, Lincoln.
Reminds me of my old girlfriend back in Nebraska, Gina Statutory. And, name was Gina Statutory, and she went to Lincoln High, and she was voted Miss Lincoln because every guy in school took a shot at her in the balcony.
My pappy said, son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln.
Matthew, Randy S. wants to know if you really drive a Lincoln.
Absolutely.
And by the way, we did pay attention. You arrived in a Lincoln.
I arrived
tonight.
In a Lincoln.
Yes,
I will
you
be
did.
Leaving in a Lincoln.
Yes.
But, never mind the buts. Here's my card. Look me up at my Gettysburg address.
87 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation.
Greetings, my fellow Americans. Lincoln's the name, Francis Albert Lincoln. An opponent of mine once said, Mr. Lincoln is two-faced. I said, if I were two-faced, I wouldn't be wearing this one. And don't get me started on my wife, Mary. She's so ugly, when we moved into the White House, our neighbors chipped in for curtains. My wife is so ugly, the last time I saw something that looked like her, General Grant was putting a saddle on it. I tell you, she's so ugly, John Wilkes Booth approached from behind just so he didn't have to look at her. It ain't pretty. My wife is so fat, it looks like she has 13 amendments to her chin. She's so ugly, when I'm in bed with her, I feel a lot like Kentucky in the Civil War. I don't want to go north, and I don't want to go south.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
Jeez.
And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Heard everywhere, Los Lunas, New Mexico, Jarvisburg, North Carolina, Altoona, Iowa, Chance, Virginia, Prineville, Oregon, and Dulakel, Nepal. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now, brought to you by MyBookie. Winning season is back at MyBookie. Winning season means the NFL is in full swing, and it's your chance to win big. No sweeter feeling than watching your team win the game and put cash in your pocket. Double dynamite, baby. Whether you're a first-time player, a veteran of the game, taking underdogs, favorites, doesn't matter. No better time to get in on the action. Join now using our promo code TMOS, and you can grab a free $20 wager with your first deposit to bet on anything in the sports book. That's a free $20 bet. My bookie giving you the chance to make your first ever winning bet. And this one is on the house. Nothing beats the NFL action. Absolutely nothing beats free money. Think about it. Head over to my bookie now and get in the game. That's winning season, baby. Do it right now, exclusively at my bookie. Get in on the action. We are pleased to really, really fortunate again to welcome Reed Galen from the Lincoln Project, one of the founders of the Lincoln Project. Reed is a co-founder. He is an independent political strategist who years of experience stem from working for President George W. Bush. And Reed joins us as Maddie Masiello, our video producer, just texted us that Joe Biden is just as we speak. This would be a little after 9 o'clock Eastern time that we're taping this show, has moved ahead in Pennsylvania. So, Reed, I know you've been following this like everybody, probably sleep-deprived like everybody. Thanks for carving out a little time for us. I got a lot to ask you about, especially with your background. I want to know what's going on. First of all, how are you doing? Have you gotten any sleep in the last 2 or 3 days?
No, not at all.
Oh no,
that's an answer. No, it has been a long few days. You know, I think that from our perspective, you know, we were victims, and I think we should all, you know, the thing about the Lincoln Project is our initial conceit is honesty and candor. And we thought it was going to be a blue wave. I thought that, you know, Florida would be done and you know, we'd all be popping champagne corks by 10 o'clock Eastern time. And clearly that didn't happen. And so, here we are. You know, the thing is, sometimes folks say, you know, all the early votes are going to look like they're going to go for Trump, and the late votes will come for Biden, ironically enough, because those were cast early. And that's exactly what's happening. And so I think that, you know, it looks like the vice president's taken over in Georgia. Mike, as you just mentioned, he's taken over in Pennsylvania. Nevada is widening. Arizona is pretty much done, although nobody seems to want to call it. And so, you know, we stand on the precipice of, I think, a new day, although President Trump's going to make the next 8 or 10 weeks, you know, as difficult as he can, I think.
But I think, Reid, you would agree that if it goes like we think it's going to go, which means Nevada, Arizona, Georgia, which blows me out of the water. It really stuns me. Mm-hmm. And Pennsylvania. This moves into the category of kind of a statement. Statement election, not a landslide, not a traditional landslide, but a statement.
Right.
And that will make whatever the president wants to do, that makes it more difficult for him to do that, right? The more you have, if it's over 300, it's a little more difficult for him. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I think so. I think also, I spent 5 weeks in Florida during the 2000 recount in Palm Beach County. That was a situation in which that state, Florida, again, Mike, always Florida, was going to make the difference on who was going to be president, whether it was Al Gore or George W. Bush. This is a different situation. Biden is now poised to be over 300 electoral votes, probably sometime today when they, I hope they call it anyway. And so I think, yeah, that's a different thing. You saw a couple of nights ago, the FAA put up, flight restrictions over Biden's house in Delaware. Last night, the Washington Post reported that the Secret Service had deployed additional agents from the Presidential Protective Detail, or PPD, as they call it, up there, in the assumption that he will be called. And so what I think you're seeing, ironically enough, is that despite Donald Trump, the wheels of transition and government are starting to turn, as they should, whether or not the president's going to go to the East Room or to the briefing room and rant and rave about, you know, how this is being stolen from him.
Reid, I want to ask you, with your pedigree coming from Republican politics like you have, when this ends, be it today, tonight, maybe over the weekend, who knows how much counting could go on then, when this is called, ultimately, do you sense that there will be any Republican groundswell of support for the process? When you've got the president, and watching live the press conference yesterday afternoon that the president gave, was, I literally felt my gut turning. It was horrible to watch. I watched the analysis of it afterwards. Everybody was emotional about this. It was soul crushing to watch what he did. Do you see any chance, even with the way the rest of the election went, where it was so divided and so close, do you see Republicans perhaps saying something along the lines of, hey, it's time to band together and support democracy?
No, I don't see that, at least not the leadership. And I'll say this, is that, you know, the thing that surprised me was that I always made an assumption that Donald Trump couldn't win a high turnout election. And we've certainly had that record breaking turnout this year. Mm-hmm. And that looks to be right. The problem is, I also, as part of that theory, assumed that meant that tens of millions of voters were, or at least millions of voters were, leaving Trump either to move to a Democrat, Biden, or stay home. And the truth is that he drove his own turnout as well through the roof. And so,
you bet,
you know, we now have half the country who believed, you know, let's say 45-47% of the country who believed that Donald Trump was an acceptable choice for a second term. That says we got a lot of issues left to solve here. It turns out that, you know, I was on a thing yesterday where a young woman said, oh, this should have been a policy election. I'm like, well, you know, COVID rules over everything. It's the biggest policy thing we got. And apparently for, you know, 69-70 million Americans, it didn't matter. And so I think that what you're seeing now is, I think there's a direct correlation between how badly you want to be the Republican presidential nominee in 2024 and how closely to Donald Trump's rear end you're sticking right now. So you see Ted Cruz and all these other guys who are, you know, saying count every vote. Like, they know better. They absolutely know better. I mean, you may not like these guys, but these are typically not dumb guys. They know exactly what they're doing. The Trump brand is now the GOP brand. It's going to be for the foreseeable future. And these guys know that if they want some future purchase on the national Republican Party, they're going to have to stick close to him and defend him. Look, they deployed Eric and Don Jr. to say, you know, you Republicans aren't being strong enough. Well, yeah, that's right. You're losing. You're losing badly. And especially a lot of these guys in these states, you know, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona, they all want futures in their states. And if it says, well, you decided to choose Donald Trump over democracy when the time came, that's not good politics locally. But nationally, I don't think you'll see any of them really stand up.
That's a great answer. Speaking of Georgia, which I would probably... Oh, go ahead, Oscar. I'm not monopolizing the conversation.
No, here. This is fascinating. Thank you again for the time. I know you've been super busy, and especially at this time that you make time for us is impressive and important for us.
Are you kidding me? No, look, I mean, it's every day. Like I said, I go to bed listening to y'all every night. So
well, we appreciate it.
Thank you, Reed.
I would love if you could read... if you could discuss... What you and your team are talking about, not just on LPTV, but also on the Lincoln Project podcast. I just listened to today's show that dropped this early this morning, where let's say the scenario we move forward with the president leaving office. Is it true that Mark Burnett of The Apprentice fame, he's just a producer, survivor, that they're shopping a reality series with Donald Trump acting as if he won the election?
I would say it's worse than a reality series. I would say that if it's only a reality series, that's the best option. I think that you're very likely to see whether or not it's a takeover of, you know, One America News or some other thing. I mean, look, Oscar, you mentioned like LPTV. We set that up like to see if we could make it work like 90 days ago, right? Right. And now we get 150,000 people a night. It's just us. Yeah. Like Donald Trump will draw millions of viewers a night if he decides to do that in relatively short order. And so I think, yeah, whether or not it's a reality show, whether or not it's his own network, whatever it is, Donald Trump's not going anywhere. Frankly, it's also going to make him a hell of a lot of money, which, as we know, he's got a few debts to pay off to some really not nice guys. So I assume he's going to need every last dime he can get. But look, I think the broader point here is one, yeah, this sort of idea, this, you know, this Trumpian shadow government, you know, lording over Joe Biden. I think it's a different thing, but also like the reason why I think we are where we are in many respects is because that, you know, the Donald Trump, Steve Bannon, OANN, Fox News, Breitbart, like doom loop, as I think I mentioned the last time I was on, like is very effective and very efficient at moving this stuff. Facebook is very efficient at moving this stuff. There's only so much you can regulate about Facebook. These groups, there's thousands of them, they move this stuff. And so to me, that's the bigger issue. And a fight that we'll be in is making sure that, you know, to the extent that it's possible, pushing back on the idea that so much of this stuff, which is just flat out wrong and fake, and there's no such thing as fake news. It's either reality or it's fiction. Like there's only two options here.
Right.
Like this thing in Arizona, this Sharpie gate. Right. Where people are like, oh, well, people were told to fill out their ballots in Sharpie. Yeah, it's OK there. Like it was never a thing, but they decided to make it a thing. Just anything to throw up, you know, sand in the gears, dust in the gears. And so this is a, you know, authoritarianism, excuse me, is pernicious. And, you know, there are a lot of folks in this country who, you know, they're still whatever it is, it's resentment, it's ugliness, whether or not it's demographic change, whatever the situation is, Trump's going to have an audience and we should not ignore that.
And you have to, I think there is soul searching that will go on in both parties. I read an article, I read so much this week, I can't tell you, I'm sorry, I can't source it, but talking about the Democrats have to take a good hard look at how they ran this election when it comes, especially to a place like Miami-Dade County, where the Trump campaign was able to go in there and scream socialism, and you had a lot of the Latin community that that were on board with Donald Trump, and you also have to consider that the turnout it was amazing for what I like to think is this cult of personality with Donald Trump. There's something there. I'm curious where the Republican Party is. Goes on from here. I mean, it's hard to what, put on. We may have a special election
if you don't mind. Sure. During your podcast, and Mike, just to dovetail on your thoughts, there is how did the Lincoln Project know to pull up stakes and leave Florida And I know that one of your colleagues, Mike Madrid, said, we got to go. It's a lost cause. Sure. There. We're going to Pennsylvania.
So I'll try and answer both questions with one answer. So Mike, to your point, and this may be disappointing to you, Mike, is that like America is not a progressive country. We're a centrist country, mm-hmm. but we're not right. a progressive country. And I think that the Biden campaign, if they had it to do over again, would have worried less about their left flank, who had frankly no place else to go, and more along the lines of like, I'm a proud Democrat, you know, and I think that whatever A, B, C, and D things are, but I'm no socialist, because I mean, look, I did work for Howard Schultz last year when he was sort of considering running for president. And the one thing we saw in a lot of survey work we did is that if Americans are given the choice between a socialist and a sociopath, they will take the sociopath every time.
I agree with
that's mm-hmm. so that's just how it is. And so I think that what you saw in Florida, we started in Florida, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Arizona were our four initial states, because look, we raised a lot of money, but comparatively still relatively small. And we started in those places in early September. And by about the third or fourth week of September, we said, you know, between our survey work and all the incredible data work that Mike did and Zach Joukowsky on our political team did, we realized that just the numbers weren't moving toward us, that the early ballots were strong for Biden, but not strong enough to put him over the top on election day. And so we said, okay, well, you know, North Carolina, like, I mean, guys, you could have bought a TV station or a radio station in North Carolina for the kind of money they were asking wow. for advertising, right? Like, it would have been better. You would have been better off just buying the whole goddamn whole damn station.
You say goddamn on the show. That's right.
Sorry. And then in South Florida, right, Mike? I mean, what you saw is that, yeah, the Cubans latched onto that. But look, in Central Florida, in the I-4 corridor in Orlando, the Puerto Ricans went 2-1 for Biden, where we spent a lot of time. Look, we made it. We ran ads in San Juan saying vote for Joe Biden. So I think that, you know, there was a lot to be done there. But of course, as I said, Florida is always Florida. It's the toughest nut to crack out there.
I have a question looking ahead, Reed, and I think mm-hmm. the thing that surprised me most about this election, let's just for fun on this network, TMOS, let's call Biden the winner right now and say that he won, mm-hmm. okay? But still, the popular vote was pretty close. And over the next 4 years, what would the Democratic Party have to do or reimagine itself to pull percentage points their way in the popular vote? Or are we going to remain evenly split for the next 4 years?
I mean, I think the work to, I mean, you know, to answer Mike's question about the Democratic Party, I think these go together is the Democrats, you know, a lot of Democrats say, well, we have to get rid of the Electoral College. It's not fair, right? It leaves all these people, you know, disenfranchised. You know, if you can convince, first of all, it's a constitutional amendment, right? It's not like you can wave a magic wand
exactly.
and get rid of the
yeah.
Electoral College, which is surprisingly unknown fact among many people, even in the business I'm in. secondly, you don't have to convince the people in LA or New York. You have to convince the people like in Des Moines and Duluth mm-hmm. That you've got to do it. You know, that it's a necessary thing. You've got to convince them that, you know, California's, you know, of the 4 million votes that Joe Biden's going to win the popular vote by, probably 2.5 or 3 million of them are going to come from California alone.
Wow.
You know, it's just that big a state. So what I would say is this, is that, you know, the Democratic Party for a long time, probably from, you know, from when Mike remembers this, was the party of the white working class, was the party of blue collar voters. It has subsequently moved, you know, to the coasts, you know, to a more elitist place. It's got to come back to a place where it can talk to those voters without being arrogant and condescending. Mm-hmm. And that's what comes off as a lot. And also understanding that, you know, as a friend of mine said, you know, whenever the Democrats would send an organizer down to North Carolina and send them into the African-American community, the organizer would come sort of shell-shocked. And they're like, do you know how conservative these people are? And the guy from North Carolina mm-hmm. would be like, yeah, they're not progressive liberals all the time.
Right.
And so I think there also has to be an understanding that, you know, not everyone is going to share every one of your views. But that's what a coalition is, right? Democracy doesn't mean everybody agrees with you all the time. It means you find enough things to agree on to get things done.
Well, Reed, I have to say we live in interesting times. You've been wonderful to join us. As far as the last question I would have for you, any feeling as we really arguably are getting close to this election being called, any level of satisfaction. I'm not even sure how I feel just yet. How, with all the work and all the effort that the Lincoln Project put into this election, how do you feel? How do you feel about the way things are probably going to go?
Well, look, you know, Donald Trump's not going to be president for four more years. So Joe Biden's going to be president.
Hear, hear.
None of this is going to be easy. Right. McConnell is likely to have the Senate. So it's going to be a tough slog. The difference, I think, is that, you know, McConnell and Biden used to drink whiskey together. They've been friends for 40 years. That's not to say McConnell's going to give him everything he wants or even really anything he wants without a fight. But at least maybe there's a start there. McConnell also doesn't want to be president, so he probably doesn't care what Donald Trump and his supporters think about much of anything. And so I think that's a good thing. But I think even just, you know, the idea of not waking up to 72 insane tweets every morning from a guy who can't control himself is going to lower the temperature. And I think that's important. I think the American people, I can speak for myself, both physically and mentally, are exhausted by all this, right? Like, only supposed to see the presidency is supposed to be one of those things that's sort of revered, right? Like, when the president shows up, it's a big deal. Like, we can't ever get rid of Trump. Like, he won't go away. And so I think that you're starting to see that, you know, especially, you know, among, you know, the reason why there's not millions of people in the streets, you know, for Donald Trump is because people are like, okay, he lost. And I'm sort of sick of it. And, you know, at the end of the day, is like, Joe Biden going to take all my money and you know, build a socialist workers' paradise? The answer is no. So we got a lot of work to do here, but I think that we're on the right path. The Senate was a surprise. The number of votes that Trump got was a surprise. But that just says, okay, we need to do a little bit of reflection, see where we go. You know, first how we got here, then where we go. But it's a fight, and it's not a fight for a year or a term. It's probably a fight for the next decade as we start to figure out how we, you know, how we reorient ourselves in our country to be the best people we can and try and leave this aberration of the last 4 years and, frankly, the death and destruction it's wrought, you know, in the past.
Reed, we're going to send you a fruitcake. We're going to, and Rob, send Reed two.
Thank
you. Send Reed two fruitcakes.
Oh, and the deluxe packaging, too. Absolutely.
Really?
You guys, it's this is Christmas, Hanukkah, Thanksgiving, you know, Kwanzaa, everything. So thank you.
God bless you, Reed. And thanks so much for your time. Good luck to you and the Lincoln Project. And Oscar, the plugs for the Lincoln Project, if you don't mind.
LincolnProject.us, the Lincoln Project podcast, available anywhere you listen to podcasts, LPTV on YouTube.
Thanks to Oscar and his team for making our podcast sound amazing. So thank you, guys.
Thank you. Reed Galen from the Lincoln Project. We'll come back with more tomfoolery right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Everybody.
Sparks fly on a street when the boy
brought... Shall we play a game?
Attendance. Accuracy. Anger. It's all on the line, and the stakes have never been higher. Tardy. Typo. Tempered. Challenge.
The Tardy Typo Temper Challenge.
You can only hear it on the Mike O'Mara Show.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
Let's get it on!
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. This portion of our program is brought to you by Freshly.
Yes!
We've all spent a lot of time at home the past few months. A lot. Well, now, if you're like me, you're plenty tired of cooking all around the clock. Enough already. That's where Freshly comes in. Just ask Oscar. He lives on it. Freshly understands that food needs to be delicious, healthy, simple, right? It's good stuff. It's yummy. Is it not, Oscar?
My new go-to is the turkey meatballs. And when you're like, turkey meatballs, it's my thing. It is your thing with Freshly. And remember, no oven needed, just a microwave. 2 minutes and 20 seconds or 3 minutes, depending on what you get, and you're good to go.
Freshly chefs and nutritionists do all the hard work. All you do is heat for 3 minutes and dinner is done. Just choose a plan that works for you and take a break from all that cooking. Whether you crave comfort foods, feel better foods, or something from your personal home bistro, Freshly has what you want every time. You're going to love Freshly. Join the almost 1.5 million satisfied Freshly customers and skip the shopping, the prepping, the cooking, the cleanup. Freshly offering our listeners $40 off their first two orders at Freshly.com/TMOS. That's Freshly.com/TMOS. Don't wait. Freshly.com/TMOS. And ladies and gentlemen, hold on just a second. As we come back from the break, and once again, that was great having Reed Galen on.
He's awesome.
Get our own Matty Masiello in here, who's got some updated numbers at approximately 9:23 Eastern time on Friday, November 5th. And Matty, what do you have for us?
So far, it looks like Joe Biden pulling ahead in Georgia by a little over 1,000 votes. And I'll pull up Pennsylvania as well.
Razor thin.
Crazy.
Damn, 1,000 votes. It's like a high school.
That's what Kanye got, right? Kanye got 1,000, didn't he?
Mm.
Yeah.
And then in Pennsylvania, it looks like Joe is ahead by about 6,000. So those are our updates there. Still waiting on Nevada and Arizona.
Right. All right.
So there it is. Both Georgia and Pennsylvania. That's it as far as that continues.
I have a question for Matty before we set Matty free. Matty, since you are our cruncher of numbers today, are you prepared to call Arizona?
Well, other news organizations called it on Tuesday, so who am I to go over them?
I stand by CNN not calling Arizona. I think CNN had a point to make about Maricopa County and watching that as much as I was watching it.
When you can select.
We go to John Lithgow in our news center. Yeah.
Maricopa County. Same day drop off. Who knows? This will be, let me say this about that, as Nixon used to say. I think we're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to be fine.
I do too.
I think if it went the other way, I'd say we were going to be okay too. Because I would look at the turnout on the Trump side and say, well, this is what, you know, and when he said we're not a progressive country, I agree with him. We're not.
Yeah.
We're a conservative country. And what we have is an amazing amount of turnout.
Yeah.
And this election has proven a lot of things to me. Mm-hmm. People cannot be pigeonholed.
Right.
People, in these races, stand on their own merit. They do. That's just the way it goes.
Not even a pandemic can unite a country.
Yeah, I know. But a pandemic can do. But I'll tell you, to get this kind of vote out during a pandemic is fantastic. I agree with what Reed said. You're not going to have, if it is Biden at the end of the day, you're not going to have a guy that's going in, for all the people on the other side, half of the country, going in and trying to steal your money and take all your money and ruin your lives and do it that. It's not going to happen that way.
Not a lot of silver linings here, but when you mentioned voter turnout, I read that this percentage-wise is the biggest voter turnout since women were allowed to vote. I mean, it goes back that far. And if there is a silver lining to be had, at least as a country, we're engaged. We're caring. We're trying to have ourselves represented. And whether or not you agree with your neighbor, that's a good sign. Mm-hmm. That's a good sign. It's not apathetic.
Here's something that I think everybody should take solace in. Because I think there are many things that this president, although he ginned up the support from his base, he probably did things that they weren't all that comfortable with. And one of them might be dealing with this virus the way he dealt with this virus. And I am finding comfort in the fact that Joe Biden is already beginning to have meetings about this virus and beginning to do the job. Something that wasn't necessarily done when this president, Donald Trump, came into office 4 years ago. There weren't the hit the ground running so that you're prepared when the time comes. And thinking more about governing than necessarily the protracted legal battles that may or may not happen. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good about Republicans and Democrats in election centers where the counting's being done. And then in the case of Philadelphia, not only Republicans and Democrats, but people from the Biden campaign and the Trump campaign who are brought in to observe this thing. That's why they took a 2-hour break the other day. That the answers coming from these elections officials, these secretaries of state across the country, from Republican states and from Democratic states, are ironclad. That they know how to do it. That they know how to get it done. That they know how to secure it. Nobody effed with it. And I'm sorry, you can say that and allege it, but you don't have evidence to back it up. And if you don't, that's really the way it's going to end up. And when you're talking about these recounts, also these recounts from everything I've read and heard on news reports, do not move the meter dramatically. It just doesn't.
We've had recounts in the past.
Because our democracy is firm. Our democracy works. Voting works.
Even if you start laying groundwork for that mail-in ballot doesn't work 3 months ago, even if you start three months ago saying it still works because it's a good system.
I filled out my mail-in ballot and I did, and that's it. So yeah. That's it. That's all I wanted to say. We have to take a break. We will come back with a little bit more. Would you like to do a nostalgia corner for a palate cleanser, Rob? Are you up for that?
Absolutely. You know, I think it might take the edge off a little bit. Be good.
We'll do that when we come back right here on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
This is your president.
Hey, there he is.
The losers at Mike O'Mara's show require your feedback. Needy. They need to be rated by you to validate themselves. Insecure. Example. Give the mailbag 5 out of 5 stars. Generous. Assign a 100% to the news you may not need. Lies. TMOS needs a report card. I need to make America great again. Pun. Sad. And now let's round out the promo with some of my best words. Good, strong, taco, sneaky, sweet, thick, crunch, tight, tall, milkshake, China, superior, fish sandwich, and Putin. Hooray for me. I am your king. Misguided. Very sad.
Sad.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by FitBod. Whether you're new to the gym or you've been lifting weights for years, it's really hard to find the right workout program and stick to it. But with FitBod, you can get a personalized fitness program that adapts to you as you go. FitBod is a smart fitness app that takes all the guesswork out of planning your workouts. With each workout, the app lets you learn your abilities, and plans workouts designed to maximize your results. Personalized training can be tough on the budget. The FitBod is only $9.99 a month or $59.99 a year. Plus, you can try 1 month of workouts absolutely free. Oscar loves it, and he's already losing that pandemic body. He's a running man. Get a personalized fitness plan that helps you work out smarter at fitbod.me/TMOS. What's Rob doing with FitBod?
Yeah, Rob, what am I doing with FitBod?
I'm paying $59 right now for you to go to FitBod for the year.
Yeah, Rob.
I am paying $59. Because Oscar loves it on every possible fitness thing we have is no longer there.
I've lost 15 pounds.
I will pay $59.99 for you to go on FitBod because I love you and I want you to be around.
You'll start seeing a new me then. Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to it. Get a personalized fitness plan that helps you work out smarter at fitbod.com/TMOS. Try FitBod free for 1 month when you sign up today at fitbod.me/TMOS. Sign up with your computer, then download the app. That's 1 free month when you sign up at fitbod.me/TMOS. This music, it calls me back to a sunnier time.
Yes.
It was wonderful. It means it's Nostalgia Corner. And I have no idea what the subject is today, Rob Spiewak.
It was inspired actually by last week's episode of Saturday Night Live. They did a sketch about a movie that I love that I don't think we've ever discussed on this show before. It's a scary movie.
The Burge?
Yes. Have we ever talked about it?
Not on Nostalgia Corner.
No, certainly it's not. But
Hitchcock?
It's his movie. It's the follow-up to Psycho.
Black and white guy, right?
No, absolutely not. As a matter of fact, Psycho was a departure for Hitchcock because it was a low-budget, black and white slasher film. And up to then, his movies were full color. He was making elegant films like Vertigo and North by Northwest.
Wait, so he went on purpose black and white?
Yes. As a matter of fact, he used the production company for Psycho that shot his television show. He cut every corner. Even the sets were sort of repurposed sets on the back lot of Universal. He went ultra low budget and made the scariest movie that had ever been made.
Wow.
So by the time he had made Psycho, he was as big of a star as the stars in his movies. He was the most known director in the world.
Yep.
So the
had
next
a TV
step,
show.
Right. And that was one of the reasons. He was on TV every week. So he had to make a movie that would really set America on its ear. This bar had been set very high. So in 1963, he went back. He had purchased the story The Birds for his TV show in 1955. And he said, this will work. But he changed it. It was written by a lady named Daphne du Maurier. And he had someone come in to write it. He said, change everything except the notion of the birds attacking. And he did a trailer just like he did for Psycho. Very lighthearted.
How do you do? My name is Alfred Hitchcock, and I would like to tell you about my forthcoming lecture. It is about the birds and their age-long relationship with man. It will be seen in theaters like this across the country. In my lecture, I hope to make you all aware of our good friends, the birds. Theirs is a noble history, and through it all, man has played a conspicuous part.
Now, what it is, Oscar, is a town in north of San Francisco called Bodega Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a wealthy socialite played by Tippi Hedren, who is gorgeous. She is one of the most lovely leading ladies you've ever seen. And she's pursuing a guy named Rod Taylor, or Mitch, but he's played by Rod Taylor. And so she goes to Bodega Bay, and as soon as she arrives, birds start attacking people in waves. Mm. And it is horrifying. Great cast. It also has...
Let me stop you for just a second, Rob, because I offer a little bit of insight because I'm older than you guys.
Yeah.
On television, years later, the late 60s, early 70s, when they started running the birds, I just remember as a kid that was one of the scariest movies ever. Just terrifying. And it's always been, it was just a beautiful, horrifyingly scary movie. It was great.
In the, when it aired on television, it was the highest rated movie that had ever been aired when it was on.
There you go.
It was a big, big deal. You know who's in it is Suzanne Plachette, who you'd later see on the Bob Newhart show.
Right.
But also the mom of the, Rod Taylor is played by Jessica Tandy, who would later, of course, be in Driving Miss Daisy, but she's old even then. She's old then. Yeah. She's been old forever. So they
Such
come
a
in.
Great movie.
One of the things about the movie is that it has the most deliberate pacing of any film ever made, to a fact that it actually starts out almost like a 1930s screwball comedy with, misunderstanding of identities and stuff. It's almost a comedy. But it slowly builds and slowly builds and slowly builds till it's so horrifying you can't stand it. And it's got some of the best dialogue of any Hitchcock film, a lot of it taking place in a diner.
It is mankind, rather, who insists upon making it difficult for life to exist upon this planet. Now, if it were not for
Mrs.
birds...
Mrs. Bundy, you don't seem to understand. This young lady said there was an attack on the school.
Impossible.
Oh, Mitch? Oh, I'm glad I caught you. Something terrible, isn't
it? It's the end of the world.
Too bloody Mary.
Drunk guy.
What actually happened at the school?
Bunch of crows attacked the school kids. It's the end of the world. Thus saith the Lord God unto the mountains and the hills and the rivers and the valleys. Behold, I, even I, shall bring a sword upon you, and I will devastate your high places. Ezekiel chapter 6.
Ezekiel chapter 6. When they talk about the attack at the school, one of the key things about this movie, Oscar, everyone gave Hitchcock amazing credit in Psycho for the score, the amazing music of Psycho. It changed the way that they did motion picture scores. There is no music on the soundtrack of The Birds.
Really?
There is some piano playing because she plays piano.
Yeah.
And there are the sounds of the birds, which were actually made on an ancient German synthesizer so he could alter the pitch. But there was no music except for this one sequence when the birds are gathering outside the school. The kids are singing. And this song, to me, as the birds are arriving on the jungle gym, is one of the scariest pieces of score I've ever heard.
With every stroke she shed a tear.
Shots of the crows.
Yeah. And when I talk about pacing, every cut is a little faster as the birds arrive, and you can feel the tension building. And it results in one of the greatest scenes where they have to get the kids out of the school because the school is full of windows, and it's already been proven that the birds will fly through windows. So Hitchcock hated shooting on location. So he shot some footage of the kids running down the road, but then intercut it with kids on a treadmill in the studio where he could handle the fake birds and real birds on them.
Uh-huh.
But Rod Taylor said in an interview, he kept speeding up the treadmill and the kids were being thrown off.
No!
I never knew that.
That's funny.
So there were over 3,200 birds trained for the movie. There were fake birds. The seagulls were caught at San Francisco dumps and trained. Hitchcock said ravens were the cleverest birds, and there was one bird that hated Rod Taylor and bit him every day. His name was Archie. Now, this is something that I think Oscar will like. They experimented with the blue screen process because of all the process shots.
That says, early? Wow.
This has more process shots than any Hitchcock film. Stop with the kids! But it didn't work. So there is another process, and it's called, let me get this right, sodium vapor process. That is more precise because when they filmed the birds, their wings would move so fast, you would see that sort of blue halo around them. So the process wasn't working, and Hitchcock was a perfectionist. The only studio that had a proper sodium vapor process was Walt Disney's studios. So know this, when you're watching one of the scariest movies ever made, a lot of it was made by Walt Disney Studios because they had the technology. There's a guy over there named Ub Iwerks that you would see in old Disney cartoons. He also designed the effect of the farmer with his eyes pecked out, which is one of the scariest
scenes. Which is the scariest shot.
Oh, yeah. it's the worst.
Like up at the phone booth, right? That he's just like,
It's when Jessica Tandy finds the farmer dead in his bedroom and his eyes are gone.
Dead. Very scary.
The movie featured 370 effect shots, and the final shot, I won't spoil the ending, but the final shot is a composite of 32 different images. And when you want to talk about a key moment of dialogue in the film, you can't beat the woman when she realizes that when Tippi Hedren got to Bodega Bay, that's when the birds started to attack.
Why are they doing this? Why are they doing this? They said when you got here, the whole thing started. Who are you? What are you? Where did you come from? I think you're the cause of all this. I think you're evil! Evil!
And she gets slapped in the face. Ooh, okay.
And it's the lovebirds. She had the lovebirds.
She brought lovebirds up. Well, the thing is, and I'll leave you with this thought. It is a groundbreaking horror movie in two ways. It's been called Hitchcock's real monster movie. First reason is, there's no resolution. Up to then, every horror movie had an ending. It was something was explained, or something bad happened to the villain.
They go away, but we don't know why they go away.
Now, the birds, he never explains why the birds attack. We don't know what happened at Bodega Bay. To the point, they don't even put up the words, the end, at the end of the movie, on purpose. It just says a universal picture. So this leaves you open-ended.
Somebody said and at the very end of the movie, one of the protagonists comes out and says it's all fraud, and we're going to take it to the Supreme Court.
That's exactly right. Well, the birds never attacked in Arizona. That was the good thing.
Wow. Funny.
That's your nostalgia corner, ladies and gentlemen.
I want to tell you one last fact that I found fascinating.
I know you do. Go ahead. Yes,
well,
I know.
I said I had two points.
You told us 750,000. Tell us one more. All right, go ahead.
This is the first movie that had America or a country or a city versus something that already exists and seemingly benign, the birds. And it was the inspiration for Spielberg to make Jaws, which is essentially the same movie retold, an animal attack with no explanation.
Wow.
So without the birds, there's no movie Jaws.
Cool.
You're giving Hitchcock too much credit, but we could argue about that at another time.
Right.
I don't know if Spielberg, did Spielberg say that he wouldn't have made Jaws without the birds? Or did he just like the birds?
He was amazingly inspired by the birds, and it influenced Jaws greatly, is what he said. So,
last question on Nostalgia Corner. How do you think the birds, you're a big one for how the movie holds up.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it in a long time. How do you think the movie holds up?
Two or three years ago, I took Julia to see it on the big screen, and she was dazzled by it. I think it holds up.
All right. Very cool. All right. Yeah. Thank you, Rob. That's Nostalgia Corner. We'll come back with Oscar's take right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey, humans, it's me again, Winslow, the Boston Terrier. One of the worst things about being a dog is that I can't talk. It's wicked hard. Not only does it make it impossible to ask for treats, it also prevents me from being a TMOS talking head. Imagine how fun it would be to sit down on a Friday morning, hop on your Zoom, and shoot the shit
with GMOS. That would be a wicked pisser. I can't do that because I'm a dog, but you can. Just email your info to rob@michaelmerrisshow.com with your contact info and why he should choose you. And if you're wondering how a dog that can't talk can voice a promo, don't overthink it, okay? Hey, Tom Brady, how you liking Tampa? Woof.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Cornerstone. 50 years from now, when historians chronicle the pandemic and all the ways it affected the world, one thing they'll talk about is how the housing industry surged during these unprecedented times. Mortgage rates dropping to all-time lows, housing appreciation soaring, and record numbers of sales contracts. You don't want to read about it in the history books. You want to do it. You want to call my friend Mark Livingstone and his team at Cornerstone First Financial and do it now. Other companies advertise ultra-low rates, but don't tell you that they're charging you a ton of origination points. Call the only company that I recommend, Cornerstone First Financial. At this level, you'll likely never need to refinance again. Call the loan professionals at Cornerstone. And don't miss out on being a part of history, whether you purchase, refinance, cash out, or get a lower rate and a shorter term. 202-625-1221 or Cornerstone First Financial. I'm sorry, CornerstoneFirst.com. That's Cornerstone First Financial. Personal attention from application to closing. And now, without further ado, it's Oscar's Take, ladies and gentlemen.
Oscar's Take, Take.
A review and comment on the news of the day is only our Bolivian bloviator can do it. The views expressed by Oscar Santana in no way affect the views of the Mike O'Mara Show. Its listeners or the right-thinking people of the United States of America. And now.
Yes?
Oscar's Take.
Oscar's Take.
Oscar, the longer this election drama drags on, the more everyone on both sides is considering bolting to Canada. A website looked at Google searches for moving to Canada over the past few days and broke it down state by state. Then they ranked them to come up with a list of the states that want to move to Canada the most. Here are the top 10. Number 10, Idaho, Alaska, Wyoming, Montana, Delaware, Washington, Colorado, Oregon, Maine. And topping the list of people that want to go to Canada, people in Vermont.
Vermont.
Let me see. The state that wants to move the least.
Yes.
Always. Mississippi.
Well, they Mississippi, like it there.
God love them. Yeah, there you go. That's what's your take,
Mike?
On
I
that,
always say here? Sauce for the goose, sauce for the gander. The idea
you
that
always say that.
I always say that.
He always says.
I
this.
Always say that.
What?
I actually heard Rick Wilson on the Lincoln Project say that, and I said I like that saying. I don't know if I I know exactly what it means, but I like it.
I think it's what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Isn't that the phrase?
Sauce for the goose, sauce for the gander. I stand by it.
Sauce for the goose, sauce for the gander. Sauce for me, sauce. Sauce. You're listening to Oscar's Take, ladies and gentlemen. You don't even have to explain it, Oscar, but go ahead if you want.
The grass is always greener on the other side. And by the way, you can't get to the other side, especially Canada, because the borders are still locked up because of COVID-19. Good luck.
Thank you very much. Oscar, you listen to Oscar's Take.
Oscar's Take.
How you doing, Rob? Oscar's Take. 7 in 10 Americans say their couch has basically been their best friend during the pandemic, just based on how much gas I've sent into those cushions.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, I'm not sure the feeling's mutual. The average American has spent an extra 448 hours on their couch since March, or 2 extra hours a day every day for the past 8 months. Couch potatoes abound in the United States, everybody.
Like, I'm buying, especially with 2 bedrooms in our thimble of a home, it's either hang out with my wife in the bedroom or hang out with my wife in the living room, or just be separate. So usually I get the couch and she gets the bed.
Right.
And that's not for sleeping arrangements. It's simply to watch what we want. She can watch her chess shows and I can watch any political shows or YouTube channels on the TV. And then we rendezvous around 1 a.m. to say, all right, smooches, good night. So I spend a lot of time on the couch.
Do you have 2 televisions and no oven? Is that the situation
right
now?
That's how I roll.
That's
all
awesome,
flat screens,
man.
No oven.
I love it.
Rob, that should be the title of the book, 2 televisions, no oven. That would be fantastic.
Don't Google it.
This is Oscar's Take, but this
Oscar's
is for the whole
take.
Team right here. This is for the whole team. The new emojis are finally here.
Woo!
Apple released an update for iPhones yesterday. It included 117 new emojis for 2020. These include things like a yellow smiley face and Groucho Marx glasses, Rob. Yes. A ninja, a toilet plunger, lots of other ones. If you have an Android phone, you should probably have these too. They've been rolling out the past few months. Emojis, Oscar. They're here.
Gentlemen, fantastic. We know a peek behind the curtain. We have an emoji one-up game within the team. Most people say, gotcha, affirmative, 10-4. We throw emojis each other's ways, and it's random always it's emojis, interesting. Yes. Yeah, random. They have nothing to do with the subject matter whatsoever.
No,
it's
not
just
at all.
Interesting to see how quickly someone can come up with a creative emoji and send it over. And then you know if somebody comes up with something at least clever within the 15 minutes, they've been searching for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
For something different.
Because it really is a competition. Even if it's just saying we're going to be early tomorrow, it's a competition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it'll get better. You're listening to Oscar's Take, ladies
Oscar's
and gentlemen. Oscar, finally, there's a 23-year-old guy named Gilbert Cordero from Oklahoma City. And earlier this year, he pulled a very bold move at an adult store. Gilbert walked through. When I see Gilbert, it's like, I want to know if you have any magazines. No, Gilbert Cordero walked through an aisle, whipped it out, and started testing out one of their products.
Mm.
We don't know the specific product, but court documents say it was, quote, a piece of merchandise designed for self-gratification.
Yes.
An employee watched the entire thing go down on the store's security camera and then called the cops. That employee also said she recognized Gilbert because he recently applied for a job.
Hey, Mike, you know what they say. Do something you love and you'll never work a day in your life.
He is on trial now for public decency. And you can't improve on that line.
No, I can't. I'll just say this.
Yes.
Where was Mac during all this?
Oh, no.
Where was Mac?
Hey, that's
Cordero.
A good line, too. Yeah.
That's a good line. That's two. That's two. I don't have one. I say to that guy, give him a hand. Anyway, we got to take a break, and we will be back with the final audio about an abbreviated one of the week right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Maddie Masiello.
This is going to be great.
Maddie, anything to say?
There was cocaine on the coffee table and plenty of seepage in the hot tub. It was gross. I am just freaking out. That is disgusting.
There's the little Masiello girls on the big green shamrock.
My parents probably care less than I do, like an a-hole. It was a crap shack back then. I think I'm going to need a couple days to process.
Let Maddie make you gladdy.
So I'm not on the edge. I have this crippling anxiety. Much better, even though it sucks.
Everybody's mad about Maddie Masiello, only on The Mike O'Mara Show.
Thank you, Maddie. Welcome back to The Mike O'Mara Show. Ho! Ho! Ho!
Yes.
No offense, ladies. Tis the season. Deck the halls with boughs of laughter and naughty words. Give the gift of a TMOS bonus show subscription. Each week, you get three wise men. Us for a commercial-free extra hour of TMOS, and it's so much cheaper than myrrh.
Yeah,
have you
priced myrrh lately?
You're back. I wanted it. I was goosing you for it. It's a Jim Dandy of a stocking stuffer. It's a Jim Dandy of a stocking stuffer. It's a real crowd pleaser for a youngster or a geezer. Thank you. Take the advice of the Chili Peppers. They're red hot. Give it away. Give it away. Give it away now. When? Right now.
Right now. Right now.
No. Seriously, it's a great gift for a friend, an enemy, the postman, or even yourself. Go to MikeOmerishow.com and click on the bonus banner, and you're good to go. Why shouldn't you give? Doesn't the Lord deserve a TMOS bonus show? You're
yes,
supposed
it does.
To say the first part.
Yes,
he does. And the best and funniest way to support TMOS, the bonus show, we live it so you can give it. Buy it at MikeOmeraShow.com. So you give me all that and I have fun with it, and it makes it more interesting. We got to hustle here.
We
I
do.
Am sorry. Did I just hit that? Did I? Yes,
yeah.
I did.
Do we have an update, Maddie?
Maddie, any update before we get to the audio vault at the end of the show?
Joe Biden won. Yay.
Yes.
She called it.
Jesus. That is unofficial. That is unofficial. Yeah. That is very, very unofficial. We don't know for sure yet. Let's open up the audio vault with Rob Spiewak. Take it away,
funny.
Rob.
When there's love here.
That's right. Okay. Yes. Last night, the most horrifying thing on TV was not the birds, but it was indeed our own president and his opening statement.
Good evening. I'd like to provide the American people with an update on our efforts to protect the integrity of our very important 2020 election.
Very breathy.
If you count the legal votes I easily win.
There you go. And Anderson Cooper offered this analysis.
That is the president of the United States. That is the most powerful person in the world. And we see him like an obese turtle on his back, flailing in the hot sun, realizing his time is over.
The thing is you don't realize the problem of turtle obesity, but it's a bad problem. Crippling
an obese turtle.
An obese turtle.
There we are. Hey, can I say one thing?
Please, I wish you would.
At the end of the show with music. I want to say it right now. Hey, Facebook friends, all you my Facebook friends, two ways you're going to get booted off my Facebook page this week. If I see gloating from one team, you will be gone. I don't want any gloating. This is not a time to gloat at all. And I mean it. Don't do that. If you see fraud, if I see fraud, this was illegal. It was a fraud without any evidence. You're gone too. Those two people, bye. Bye, Felicia, for both of you. Gloating from the left.
Are you open to this just breaking? Red Sox rehire, bring back Alex Cora.
Alex Cora. Yes. 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 I'm sorry. Yes. Maybe you call him a cheater, but he was a good manager. He was a good manager.
Cheater,
got caught up
cheater,
in that thing and used
pumpkin dinner. Eater. Yes, that's
well,
what happened.
Perhaps we can discuss on Monday when we get to discuss normal things.
Yes, right now, Arizona is in favor of it. They think. They don't know. T.I. is a wonderful rap singer. And if you go back to 2008, he had a record called Whatever You Like. And people have noticed that when he sings in the song, I Want Your Body, it sounds like he's rooting for Joe Biden.
Yeah, I want your body. Need your body. As long as you got me, you won't need
exactly
nobody.
Like what it sounds.
Especially That's if you great. Listen for it. That goes back to 2008. Mike, I know That's you crazy. Said this would be an abbreviated audio vault, so I want to close with this. Actually, a teaser for this week's bonus show. If you want to know how to be funny, we break it down for you. How to be funny. Have you ever said, hey, I wish I was witty. I wish I was clever. We're going to give you exercises of how to be funny. And let us close, Mike, with the words of Dr. Alan Pearl.
I love to make people laugh, and I've been doing it
Thank you.
Since, you know, school. People ask me, were you must have been the class clown. And I say, no, I wasn't. But I sat beside the class clown, and I studied him and saw how he made people laugh. My father brought me into the business, and I joke with my wife. That's when the money started rolling in. Brave making more wampum to buy pelts. One happy squaw in wigwam, happy as mongoose. That is, of course, from Johnny Carson, who one of my heroes in a very funny bit.
And I'd say, no, I wasn't. That's your magic audio ball. Have a great weekend, everybody.
That's good tease for the bonus show as well. Hey, it's been a hell of a week. Good job, everybody. And for all of us, let's thank Reed Galen from the Lincoln Project.
Reed
and
is
our
great.
TMOS talking head and health professional Stephanie Larson for coming on the show today. A whole bunch of shows. Who knows what next week will bring, but it sure should be interesting. And for all of you that did your job and your duty, we had a, you know, messages about it every week on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Yes.
Congratulations, America, for getting out and voting. A lot of surprises, but the fact that it wasn't a surprise is the amazing amount of human beings that were engaged in the system.
Love that. Love
That's
it.
Never bad. Democracy will survive anything that's going on. I have confidence in our democracy. You should, too. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
That was a hot mess inside a dumpster fire. Inside a train wreck.
Do you know who I am? I'm Mo Green.
Well, bye.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
It's done, Joan. They've packed your things. They're loading your cart.